Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, brought to you on the MLW Radio Network, partnered with our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, which, if you didn't know, was the world's most widely read internet news site in the world. I think I said world twice, but that's because I'm so excited because it is our third day of daily shows. We are doing shows every single day. Some, once in a while, will be a little bit longer, but most of them are going to be short little bite-sized doses of a wrestling tidbit to help you get your pro wrestling fix for the day. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, I'm going to talk about one of the most fun shows I've ever been to and why I think y'all need to know about it, because I think it is a game changer. Clever, right? And also, there's been some discussion lately about whether or not Adam Page versus Jericho should have been the main event at All Out. A lot of people think they couldn't follow, not a lot of people, but a couple of people think they shouldn't have followed the ladder match. It put them in an unfair position. I'm going to give you my acute analysis on that. All that and less on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. There's been some discussion about the All Out pay-per-view, and I think the two main criticisms, as I said yesterday, that people have been match order and the dark order. For the dark order, I ain't got nothing for you. I'm with most of y'all, not really digging it. But as far as the match order goes, Dave Meltzer started a hubbub on Twitter, and this show isn't, like, I gotta tell you, this show isn't about Dave. I'm not gonna talk about Dave all the time, but this is just a topic that's in the air. Matter of fact, when I worked with Russo, he would want to do shows about Dave all the time. And I was saying, that's small ball. That's not how to get big downloads. So it's not like I'm trying to talk about Dave to get downloads or something like that. It's just something that came up. Anywho, Dave Meltzer tweeted, believe it or not, he tweeted something about the fact that he didn't think that the Adam Page Jericho match should have gone on last, even though it was for the title, that because of how outstanding and how high impact and all the crazy spots of the ladder match that happened previously, that should have gone on last. And a lot of people are like, you're out of your fucking mind. And he argued it for the last 4 days, literally 4 days on Twitter, of arguing about wrestling booking. So I've thought about it from a few different viewpoints, a few different angles, and here's what I've come up with. So the ladder match was awesome. It was really good. It was one of the better matches, ladder matches I've ever seen. It had some really high impact spots, but Page versus Jericho was for the first fucking title that they ever had in AEW, for their world heavyweight title, the inaugural world heavyweight title of this brand new promotion where wins and losses count. Of course they should have gone on fucking last. Now, if there's an issue with this match that we're talking about, the ladder match going on before it and it overshadows it, you know, that speaks, I think, to the booking and characterizations and build up to the Adam Page Jericho match. Because, of course, a lot of us might think, hey, let's just put a buffer match in there. Let's put a segment in between. But that not being something that I think should be done towards the end of a pay-per-view, the reality is if people were more into the Page Jericho match, then it wouldn't have mattered that it was last. It wouldn't have mattered that it came after the ladder match. There's a million things that could have been done, an infinite field of possibilities to make that match, the heavyweight title match, that is, more compelling, more interesting, and more electric for the fans and the audience. And very little can be done to blame the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks match. A matter of fact, I would think that the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers and anybody in AEW had faith that that match, the Page and Jericho match, was going to bring the house down. It just didn't. And I think a couple reasons are, you know, people wanted to cheer Jericho. No matter how much of a heel Jericho becomes, people want to cheer him. He is a star. Even when he's being a heel, he's funny. He's entertaining. And I don't think they did a great job of building up Adam Page. Now, they didn't have to build up Adam Page for me, because I think Adam Page is a great wrestler. I think he is someone that you can say is the young future star of AEW. But as far as the booking went, you know, they had him wrestle almost 20 minutes in a match previous to this, not looking very strong. I think they should book Adam Page like Magnum TA. They should have had a couple matches, two or three, if possible, before this match where he's beating people in like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, you know. He hits him, he does his crazy flip over clothesline, does his reverse pile driver thing. I need to learn the names of these fucking moves. But in and out, dominant fashion, creating a groundswell underneath him, not an almost lost 20-minute match. His promos are fine. They just didn't do a good job of building him and building a compelling match. So, of course, the main event should have been the first fucking ever AEW World Heavyweight Championship match. Of course that should have been the main event. And anybody who thinks differently is totally nuts. Or they just have a different opinion. Either way, it's fine. I've talked about the NXT San Jose show that Matthew and I went to a few years ago before NXT takeovers were a thing. It was a different kind of atmosphere. It was just crazy how everybody knew all the wrestlers. They hadn't really been on TV that much. And it was kind of like a little movement, you could tell. It was like this cool little new thing that was just ours. And everybody who was there was totally into it. And it's something I think that's almost unique to wrestling. I think music can be like that as well, but wrestling is very different, as you know. And then a few years later, last year, we went to All In, which was, to me, kind of this outlaw show. Outside of the main people, outside of the WWE, we can pack a building just based on who we are. No matches, just based on who we are. And man, everybody there was kind of in on the jokes. Everybody knew the Joey Ryan story. Everybody knew that, you know, Hangman Page was missing his shoes. Everybody was into the Nick Aldis Cody Rhodes match. It was like this whole new thing had started, and everybody there was on the same page. Well, this past weekend is StarCast weekend, All Out weekend. I got to go to a show which, to me, is in line with those two shows. My son, as I've talked about before, is totally into this GCW, Game Changer Wrestling. He's been telling me all about it and finally got me to watch the Backyard Wrestling. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on? I'm not sure if I love it, but I know it's entertaining. And I wanted to find out more about it. Turns out they're the guys behind Bloodsport. And we did an episode on GCW, a little bit about the history and about what they've done. But I never got to go to a show. Now, this particular show was partnered with Black Label Pro, which is another great indie organization. I'm not sure if indie is like a insult or not, but let's just call them independent. It's another one, Black Label Pro. They bring a lot of talent. They have some homegrown guys. They do a good job of putting out a regular product that makes money, which is the aim of any wrestling organization. So partnered with them, GCW put on a show All Out weekend called Two Cup Stuffed. And honestly, it was pretty much a GCW show. It was a GCW crowd. People were chanting GCW. They weren't chanting Black Label Pro. That's not a slam on Black Label Pro. It just has to do with the identification of the people there. The place was packed. I'm not sure what kind of building it was. It was like a big old metal building. It was arched in a way. Maybe you call it an armory. I don't know. It's just this big metal building where they had it set up for like snacks, and they had a bar in there, but they had a large area where they had wrestling. And I don't know how many people were there. There was definitely 1,000 people there for sure. There could have been more. It looked like it was sold out. And Matthew and I bought tickets because Matthew wanted to go. I knew he'd be at StarCast. So the day it went on sale, Matthew's like, can we go? I'm like, sure. I got front row seats. It wasn't that expensive. And I did not know what to expect. First of all, what you can expect at a GCW show is violence. It's violent. There's blood. There's lots of blood. There's light tubes. There's plate glass windows. There's falling from high heights. It's violent. And here's what I came away with after watching it. And it's the thing that's kind of tough for me personally to reconcile is I dig the violence. You know, guys, a lot of guys, some girls too, they like watching things that are violent, you know, violent movies, you know, MMA, all kinds of things like that, you know, violent video games. And I dig the violence. I dig the violence that is in the ring, and it appeals to me as a crazy human being. At the same time, I want everybody to be safe. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So those two things were kind of tough to reconcile. In my mind, I hold, you know, the tenet that I don't want people to get hurt above the fact that the violence is entertaining, but at the same time, there's something going on there. And if it's over 1,000, maybe 1,500 people, all in unison chanting, all in unison knowing who every wrestler is, all in unison in one movement that's bursting at the seams. It literally was the Outlaw Show to the Outlaw Show, because it was a show that was booked, you know, in the wake of All Out being booked in Chicago. So it wasn't that far away, just a few miles away. Definitely related to the fact that All Out was there, which I saw as an outlaw promotion. And this is the outlaw to the outlaw. So what did I see? I saw violence, and I saw a crowd that was incredibly engaged, incredibly excited, incredibly community-based as a culture and fellowship over something that they shared in common. That was theirs. That was their little secret. But particularly, what did I see? Well, I went there with a bunch of friends, including Conrad and Eric. You might know him as Eric Rottencrotch, Mark Nilsson and Allison, Faye, and just a lot of friends. And Jeff Jewett almost made it. He said, I liked what I saw, but was too tired to stay. But, you know, Jeff's Mr. Excitement. So we all went to the show. Matthew and I had our tickets. We found our seats. And sitting behind us was our good friend Dave Hancock and Fat Ass Massa. You might know him from Being the Elite. And they may have been drinking. I'm not 100% sure. As I sit down, this guy that I see at a lot of different shows, his name is Matt. I've only met him at like shows, like StarCast, things like that. He gave us some masks, you know, like the kind of masks you wear if you do drywall, if you don't want to breathe in stuff, or the kind of masks you see in New Japan, like in the audience. And I'm like, what the hell is this for? What's going on? They said, well, when the light tubes explode, you want to put on this fucking mask. And I'm like, well, where the fuck am I? But I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So my night was kind of obsessive with making sure Matthew put his mask on at the right time. The matches that took place. So we walked in a little late and we didn't get to see Tom Lawler and Eric Stevens take on Violence Is Forever. We're walking to our seats in the front row. So it's close quarters. So you're very, very close. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking Tom Lawler. The match ended. And our first match we really saw was Homicide defeated Ethan Page. Homicide, legend, man. It's great to see a legend. And Ethan Page, of course, you know, from Impact, another guy on the up and coming list. They had a good match. The next match was a six-man kind of luchador match, which was Ophidian, Loretta Kidd, and Ares defeated Black Taurus, Gringo Loco, and KTB. KTB is the overwhelming fan favorite in this match. They did some crazy spots. It was really entertaining. They did a couple things I'd never seen before, you know, like when one guy gets on the shoulders of the other guy, but then the third guy gets on his shoulders, and then there was a clothesline or a leg whip or something, and it was pretty crazy. That was super entertaining. So already I'm like, Homicide Ethan Page, just saw Tom Lawler. Crazy, high impact, high energy. Six-man match, what's next? The next match is a match you may have heard about. It was a doors, ladders, and chair match, and the winner had to climb a ladder to get a contract that was in a bag hanging from the rafters, which gave you the choice of your opponent at Joey Janela's Spring Break. And it included people like Logan Stunt, who's Marco's brother. He has the same dimensions as him. Alex Zane, who, if you don't know, you should know about. Matthew Justice, Kobe Durst, Jimmy Lloyd, who is definitely a GCW fan favorite. They have their own chant that goes, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy fucking Lloyd. Blake Christian, Shane Mercer, and G Raver. Now, this match had a lot of crazy spots, and one of the spots was they fought to the edge of the building, they climbed up with this ladder, they got to this really tall kind of platform-looking area fighting on top, and you knew somebody was going to go off, and somebody did fall off of there. And then the guy who was left was going to jump on top of everybody else. But instead of doing that, that's the point of the roof that it reaches the edge of the building, so it was lower, and he could grab the beam that was holding up the roof, and he could shimmy. So he shimmied, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 feet, not just across the venue, but up. So he's in an insane height. He drops down. I saw the video later. People caught him. I couldn't see from where I was sitting, but that would have been enough. We had a crazy ladder spot involving G Raver, and then the ladder with the light bulbs come out. Now, light bulbs are very closely associated with GCW because they have a lot of death matches. And I guess you don't have death matches without light bulbs. And they're spectacular in effect. They're fucking loud. Like when you get hit or someone gets hit, I'm never getting hit with one. But if somebody gets hit with light bulbs or a bundle, if you will, of light bulbs, it makes a very loud sound. It's very visually compelling too, where all the dust goes in the air, and that's when we put our masks on feverishly. It's a spectacular visual, and people have gotten hurt with it before. Dave Arquette got hurt with it, and in this particular match, they had some light bulbs taped to the top of a ladder, and I know. It's like when the ladder came out, though, people were like, fuck yeah, light bulbs on a ladder. And when the ladder came out, there's a suplex that took place. I'm not sure if the light bulbs were supposed to break at that particular spot, but one of the light bulbs, or all the light bulbs did, and one of the pieces of glass, I guess, cut him in the inside of the arm or from the armpit. I've heard different things, but we knew something was wrong immediately. The referee just called the match, did the X sign, but told people to get the fuck out of there. And G Raver, I saw fall down right in front of us on the mat. And then he got up and there was a literal puddle of blood, not like an exaggerated puddle, but like a real puddle. And it wasn't cool. It was terrible to see. We saw G Raver the next day. He had the sling on. He said he was going to have surgery and that he's going to miss some bookings, and that he was really upset about the fact that he had some momentum and a lot of good stuff coming up and he wasn't going to be able to participate. Here's wishing G Raver a full recovery, like a full recovery. Looks like a good guy who enjoys these death matches and really paid a terrible price in this match, and no one deserves that price. So if you're one of those people who are going to tweet, he deserves what he fucking gets, go fuck yourself. No one deserves to be cut like that and to have months away from a momentum part of your career taken away. And a matter of fact, G Raver has a GoFundMe. I have not donated yet because I've lost my debit card again and they don't accept PayPal. So as soon as I find my debit card or get a replacement one, I'm going to donate. I encourage you guys to too. G-Raver GoFundMe. Just Google it. You can go right to it. And he's in excess of his goal right now, but he may have underestimated how long rehab takes. And it's good for him to get some money because he's not going to have any income coming in while he's rehabbing, I'm assuming. That being said, it was a crazy match. It had a memorable moment where one of the wrestlers threw Logan Stunt a great distance, like just a fantastic, seemingly impossible distance, like not like Bam Bam throwing Spike, but like if Bam Bam threw like Spike's baby, like that's how far Logan Stunt went. And he was kind of out of the match until the very end. And Tony Deppen, after everybody got cleared out, showed up. And Tony Deppen is kind of the golden boy of GCW. He has a huge future. If you don't know the names Alex Zane or Tony Deppen, you might want to know them because you will know them later. He ended up just climbing the ladder, taking it, getting the stipulation. So we'll see who he faces at spring break. So even though that match had a moment like that, which took people out a little bit because we're concerned, we're reading tweets, we're seeing that he's being taken to the hospital, he may have cut an artery, turns out he didn't, but we're all kind of concerned about him. But the energy in the building builds back up because there's a good reset match to kind of get everybody's mind right. Jerry Lawler comes out and cuts this long promo about how he was in ECW Arena and he sees Vermin in the audience there and he sees the same kind of Vermin here with this fucking GCW and fuck GCW. And out comes the badass cowboy of Game Changer Wrestling, Mance Warner. He comes out to Simple Man, and it's an acoustic version of Simple Man. I forget who does it. It's a country guy. But the entire crowd sang it in unison and on key, which I thought was fantastic, as he came out. And Mance Warner had a moment when he came out and the whole crowd singing the song, like the entire crowd singing. Now, I know I may have some holdover Russo fans from my last show, and when I say something like that, or I say something like everybody's chanting together, everybody's singing together, I've heard these kind of fans go, what a bunch of marks. You know, fuck you, because these are just people having fun. People are having fun in the audience. They are enjoying this scene. They're spending their money and they're getting their most out of it. And if you have an issue with that, you probably have an issue with yourself. In any case, Mance comes out, has a match with Lawler. It was an okay match. I mean, Lawler is 70 years old and did the best he could. He was the king of Memphis. He was the guy who drew 10,000 people houses every single week in Memphis. And he's still got a lot of that, but he is 70 years old. He's had a stroke. He's had a heart attack. There were some moves like a body slam and a back body drop, which if done on a 20-year-old would have been fine, but I think was harder on Mance Warner than it should have been. You had Gary J defeated Warhorse. And then now this is the match I wanted to see. Gangrel defeated Orange Cassidy. Now, I told y'all about Orange Cassidy a long time ago, and he had a moment at All Out a day later that we won't forget, where as soon as he appears in the ring, everybody chants for him, everybody's happy to see him. It was a good moment to indicate, yeah, great signing by AEW, taking on Gangrel. And to me, this was a five-star match. Like, it's not like whatever most people think a five-star match should be. But for me, an audience that responds the way they did to this match for every single move, invested one way or the other, interacting one way or the other with every single move, not chanting this is boring, not sitting on their hands, not throwing out chants that have nothing to do with the match, but engage with this match, the entire crowd, every move, even one as subtle as putting your hand in your pocket. It was just all comedy, but it was fun. They switched sunglasses. Everybody enjoyed it. I give it 5 stars. The final match was a match between Effie and Nick Gage. Now, you might not know who Effie is, and you might not know who Nick Gage is, but you will tomorrow, because I will be interviewing Nick Gage. We'll go ahead and break that right now. I'll be interviewing Nick Effin Gage, the murder, death, kill guy. He's something else. I'm going to talk a little bit more about him later, but I'll be interviewing him tomorrow on Total Engagement. But Effie is this character who is out gay, right? He's out of the closet, and he uses that, like, in a match. He'll get on his knees and yell, I want to suck your dick. I'm not making this up. That happened. And he uses it, his real sexuality, in an amplified way. I think this is the character, because I haven't followed him long, but here's what I got. He's really gay, right? But he uses that, the perception of what people think gay is, as a psychological advantage, in the similar way that Goldust did, except he's actually gay. So he's owning that part, but he's also taking pleasure in taking advantage of some of the misconceptions people have about gay people, I think. He's a badass, though, for real, no matter what. Taking on Nick Gage. Now, Nick Gage is the unlikeliest of superstars. He really is. He doesn't look like one. He's had some prison time in his life. He's had some stories like David Arquette almost bleeding out in a match with him. But that dude has charisma. He has a charisma that I can't, if I were to try to really think about who he reminds me of, just, I can't even, maybe Rick Steiner, you know, I don't know. Just someone who's just looks, is you're afraid of. Someone you're just afraid of, but you're glad he's on your side. And he might be a little bit edgy. He might be a little bit dangerous, but he's yours. He's on your side. He's not just Nick Gage. He's Nick fucking Gage. And the audience dug Nick Gage when he came out. They're chanting Nick effing Gage the whole time. And Nick really knows how to, Mr. Gage, I'll call him, really knows how to interact with the audience in a real way where you can tell he's just manifesting real feelings he has. He's not faking anything. And I'm not sure if he did this on purpose, but he does something at the beginning of the show, I guess. I've never seen him do it before, but I guess he does it every time, where he just rushes in the crowd and freaks out in the middle of a bunch of chairs, a bunch of people. And he was about to do that. And right before he did it, he grabbed my son's shoulder, who he had met before, and he moved him out of the way. Now, I'm not sure if he did it on purpose, but literally you can see it on video too. He grabs Matthew, he pushes him aside, and then he rushes in the crowd, because he would have killed Matthew. Like, Matthew's 6'2". He might be taller, but he probably weighs about 160. And Nick Gage is about 6'3", 6'2". I don't know, maybe 6'1". Let's call him 6'4", because, you know, he deserves it. And he's probably about 250. And he's muscular. You know, he's built. He's big. He's scary, very charismatic. And this match had a lot of deathmatch elements. For instance, there was a plate glass window, well, sliding glass door, I guess you'd call it. And there was a pile driver through said plate glass window. And I think there was a second plate glass window. And there was a lot of glass, and there was light bulbs. Matter of fact, Nick Gage came to the ring carrying light bulbs. It was something that everybody in the crowd was into. Everybody in the crowd was interested in it. Everybody in the crowd was excited. And when the match ended with Nick Gage defeating Effie while both covered in blood, it was a satisfactory ending to the night. And I'm laughing because of how ridiculous the whole thing is, right? Like if someone walked in there and didn't know wrestling and just looked at this supposed simulated fighting while people are really getting hurt, they would be like, what in the fuck is going on? At the same time, there's no disputing there's something going on because we're talking about over 1,000 people packed into this place in unison, enjoying what they're seeing. And the word's going to catch on. Like, it's not like less people are coming to the next show. Matter of fact, I guarantee more people are coming to the next show to see these young charismatic stars. And even though people say it's all about death matches, it's all about high spots, it always is about stars. It's always is about personalities, whether it be a Logan Stunt or a Tony Deppen or a KTB or a Jimmy Lloyd or a G Raver or a Mance Warner or a Nick Gage. These are the stars that GCW is built on and the reason that people come. And it was Joey Janela. It's always, wrestling to me has always been driven like that. So you can have all these death matches. You can set it up. Anybody can start a death match organization, but it's really about these guys who are in it. So I'm just wondering out loud if there's any way to reconcile, maybe making it a little safer for the guys. Now, I'm not saying it's unsafe because I don't know what precautions were taken. I know there's light bulb tubes, guys. I understand that. But at the same time, if you've got guys who've worked around these things for 10 years, you don't want to insult their fucking common sense and their experience and their credibility by going, hey, what's with the light bulbs, guys? Because they've been doing it for a long time. They know what they're doing. I wonder if there's a way I can feel a little better about it. You know, I don't want to see the guys get hurt, but I do like the violence. And so what I kind of settled on is that these are adults who make their own choices, and their choice is to entertain us. No one's forcing them to do this. The ones that I talk to enjoy doing this. They're making the choices. And as a fan, I'm not going to rob them of this choice. This organization is not run by some powerful conglomerate who's making them do certain things. These guys are choosing. And I'm pretty sure if one of them went back to the owner and said, hey, I don't want to go through this plate glass window, the owner would say, hey, that's totally cool. Do you. I'm pretty sure that's the way it would work. And even if it didn't, it's not this big organization where if you left, you wouldn't find a job somewhere else. Nobody's being forced to do this. So I'm going to respect the choices of Nick Gage and Effie and G Raver and Mance Warner to participate in this. I'm not going to rob them of that choice. If I don't like it, I won't watch it. If not enough people watch it, it's not going to survive. But I'm telling you what, this thing is real. This thing is something that might be a sleeper underneath all this AEW NXT talk. The next big story is going to be GCW. I'm telling you. They have the ownership. They have the infrastructures. They have the announcers. They have Fight TV. They have the right wrestlers in there that are going to be future stars, particularly if you keep an eye on Mance Warner and Alex Zane and Tony Deppen. And they have a superstar in Nick Gage. Like, Nick Gage has connected with the audience in a way I don't think I've ever seen any other guy do. Where maybe, I guess you hear stories about Brody, you know, maybe in that way. But this is something for you to watch, for you to check out. Now, they don't have stories. They don't have angles. It is just matches. But it is something that's drawing in a newer audience, a younger audience. And if I was a wrestling fan, I would check it out. Because before long, a lot of people are going to be talking about GCW. And make sure to talk about Total Engagement. We're doing shows every day. So you got to subscribe. You got to go to iTunes or whatever your platform is and subscribe. Also, if you can give us a 5-star review and tell everybody how much you love this show, pass the word along. It's one fan to other fans. That's all we do here. Please come up and see me because I'm going to be at StarCast 4 hanging out, helping out. Please come by and say hello. And come by tomorrow because I'm interviewing Nick Buck Engage on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coombs.